As I mentioned, we're going to be reading from Matthew, the second chapter. I usually don't have long passages that I like to read because people sometimes kind of get lost along the way. But we're going to be reading from Matthew, the second chapter. And if you'd like to follow along, you can use your iPad or your phone, or you can watch the screen. But follow along. I'll be reading from the very first verse of the second chapter of Matthew. And I read from the NIV. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, magi, those are also translated wise men, if you're not familiar with that term, from the east, we don't know how far east, it's probably Persia, maybe, that's the best guess, we really don't know, came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw a star when it rose and have come to worship him." Now, it makes sense they would come to Jerusalem, the capital, to find out where the king was born. So they're not doing anything other than what you obviously would do when you're searching for a king. They went to the capital. Verse 3, when King Herod heard this, because he had no idea, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. In Bethlehem, in Judea, they replied, for this is what the prophet has written. This next passage is actually a quote from Micah, the fifth chapter. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people, Israel. Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. Now, some people may wonder, why do you want to know the exact time? By figuring out the exact time, he could kind of figure the age of the child, you see. So that's why he did that. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, go search carefully for the child, and as soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him. Of course, the king had no intentions of worshiping him. His desire was to kill him, but that they were able to see through that. After they'd heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, now I know we always think of the wise men coming to the nativity scene. We have a nativity scene right here, and we usually think of wise men around that, but actually, this was a time pass here. You know, we do that a lot in the Bible, from one paragraph to another, next chapter to another. There's time that's passed. So Jesus has been born. He's now living in a house. He's still a little child, probably around 2 years old. And the Magi come to the house. They saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. And then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod's, they already kind of felt like he was a little off, they returned to their country by another route. Now, from this text, we begin to understand the wise men started it all. They started it all. When I speak about starting, I'm talking about the gifts. We're talking about gifts today. Jesus is the gift. Gift giving, receiving gifts. In fact, I'd like to note a couple things about this simple story in a way that introduced this series. I'm going to first notice their gifts were personally given. They were personally given. When you read the story, the personal part of this just pops out from the scripture. Verse 2, we saw his star in the east and have come to worship him. Verse 9, they went on their way. Verse 10, and when they saw the star, they rejoiced. Verse 11, on coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Notice this. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts. Their gifts were personally given. And oh, and boy, today, you know, Amazon is our friend. Linda and I confess, you know, with our grandchildren and in the Chicago area, excuse me, and in Nevada, Amazon delivers for us, and we, you know, we have them write the Christmas list out, and we send it on Christmas Day. We FaceTime so we can watch them open them and do those things. But you know, I really don't really feel personal about it because I'm not there. I didn't personally pick it up. It's not the same thing. There was no question. The wise men gave their gifts personally. Here's the second thing I notice. Their gifts were properly given. And when I say their gifts were properly given, I'm saying it's more than just about costly gifts, more than about gold, frankincense, and myrrh. The best give they gave to Jesus was the worship and the adoration and the glory. You think about that. This is really the shepherds and the wise men were the first to worship Jesus. What a privilege that is, isn't it? What a gift to give to the Christ child. And I just think that's just, those are properly given gifts. It might be helpful to first understand this about gifts too. There are three kinds of gifts given at Christmas time. This is just an information for you to realize. Some of you already realize this, but there are three kinds of gifts given at Christmas time. Here's the first is a gift for a gift. You're familiar with that, aren't you? I bet you know exactly what I'm talking about. A gift is given, so you go out and buy a gift to give to the giver because you hadn't bought them a gift, but now you've got to go buy them a gift. Did that sound, made sense? You know what it's like. Often people, they remember, you know, I think I got them a gift. I'm going to think, oh, I didn't. I got to go to Walmart. Which is why things are so crowded on Christmas Eve. People had gotten a last minute gift, and now they've got to go out and find another gift to give to them. And that's a gift for a gift. And that's kind of an American thing, really. It's called a gift for a gift. Now, there's a second gift giving tradition, a gift for a favor. Now, companies do this a lot. They want to give you a turkey or a ham for Christmas, maybe. Now, they don't expect a gift in return, but they're quietly kind of implying, do your job, don't complain, be a good employee, you owe me. And that's kind of what that's about. It's a kind of a gift for a favor. There's a third kind of which I want to spend most of my time speaking about. It's the gift that the wise men brought to the Christ child, and I call it the grace gift. Say that with me, the grace gift. I don't know if that's really a term that's out there, but it's one I came up with, and I think it best describes this kind of gift. It's a grace gift. It's unrepayable. You can't pay back a grace gift. I come up with this name of this grace gift because Jesus was a grace gift of God. We were undeserving. We can't repay it back, but it's a gift that we love. The same concept is true with this grace gift when you give to people. I'll give you an example. In the early 90s, I was dean at camp, and I had this high school senior. His name was Pete Ramsey. A few of you people might remember Pete Ramsey when he was in camp, when he was a young man. I thought Pete was a kid magnet. And I came to him and I said, if you're going to Bible college this fall, I tell you what, if you go to Bible college, I'll give you a job as a summer intern. And he did, and he came back three summers in a row. And eventually, when he graduated from college, we hired him full time. And he was a great youth minister, great talented guy. Eventually, he went on to be the youth minister at the Inglewood Christian Church, which is right now where he is the preacher at Inglewood in Jacksonville. And I had to be down at the college. I was a trustee, and I was having a meeting, and it was the day they have chapel. And I thought, oh, what a great day. I'll set it on chapel. And it just so happens when they introduced the chapel speaker, it was Pete Ramsey. And Pete got up to speak, and he had his notes, and he saw me sitting over to the side, and he just put his notes aside. And in that little time, he said that he would not be in ministry had I not, his words, have not poured myself into his life in earlier years. That just brought me to tears. You see, that was a gift of grace he gave me. That grace gift I could never repay, that he gave to me. And over the years, there have been several sets of spiritual grandparents to our kids as they were growing up away from their biological family. They would be senior couple usually, and they would kind of take our kids under their wing, and they'd remember birthdays and sports events, and they'd always be willing to be emergency babysitters if somebody was sick or something came up. And what they did to us was give us a grace gift. They had no idea the impact they had on our marriage, on our ministry, on our children. that our kids still to this day, I remember those couples and how wonderful they expressed love to us. And even now when we go see our kids, our oldest lives in Chicago and our youngest lives in Nevada, and we try to go see them. And when we're with them, we try to give them grace gifts. Well, I'll go around and try to fix some things, or sometimes I'll cut the grass for them, and Linda will, you know, clean things or do the laundry or do something with the kids. And sometimes we'll give them a night and say, hey, go on a date night, and we'll watch the kids. And see, we look at that's a grace gift. That's something we can give that's not repayable. That's a grace gift, friends, and I challenge you to give grace gifts. I'll tell you, another couple in our own church that I just got to point out that are wonderful about grace gifts is Debbie and Gary Barrett. Gary agreed, when we started with 12 people, Gary said, I'll be the treasurer for 5 years. He just retired at 16 years, stepping off in December here as our treasurer. And he has been faithful. He and I were the leads for putting this building together. We spent many, many hours traveling around, talking to people, talking to buildings. And it was just whatever needed to be done, Gary was willing. And I couldn't begin to count the things that Debbie's fingerprints are on in this building, from projection to the keypad that's out there to putting stuff together for projection or for the people who are doing sound, and on and on and on and on. Debbie's involved in it. She comes in and helps Michelle whenever Michelle has a problem. Debbie comes in. I mean, this couple just constantly are always giving and loving. We had our last campfire at their home. I mean, they are a perfect example of giving grace gifts. And I'm spending some time on this because I really want to get through to you that this is important. It says, Jesus said this himself, the greatest among you will be your servant. Whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted. So let me ask this. What the wise men taught me about gift giving? There's a couple things. Looking at this story, and you all know this story, you've read it a million times, and you know it forward and backwards. So let me tell you what these three wise men taught me about giving gifts. First, give an unexpected gift to someone. No one expected gifts to be given to the Christ child. No one would have been thought of such extravagant gifts to come to be brought to the Christ child. The wise men weren't Jewish. Do you realize that? They weren't Jewish. They were from probably Persia or some other over or Asia Minor country, and so they weren't in any way Jewish, but they followed the Christ child star. And then they did something unexpected, a total shock, whenever they came and surprised them with the gifts. Remember what it's like to get a surprise gift? You remember the shock you have, how it just touches your heart, the appreciation that you have? Let that memory be made into an action. There's lots of white space around your outline. I want to challenge you. Write a name of somebody that you need to extend a grace gift to. Somebody. Somewhere in your outline, there's a lot of blank spots. Get a pen. Write a name down there. It could be a neighbor. It could be a family member. It could be a coworker. It could be somebody. Just somebody. And I challenge you, by writing it down, you stick with it. It could be a week. Could be a month. It could be a long time before you're finally able to do that. But give a grace gift to that person. You will feel better. You'll be excited about it. And I challenge you to make the effort to give a grace gift. Here's a second thing I learned. Second thing, give a gift with genuine joy. That's how the wise men did it. They rejoiced when they saw the star. They rejoiced when they saw Mary. They rejoiced when they gave their gifts. They could hardly wait for these gifts to give to the Christ child. They had so much joy. Arthur Richard Foster said it this way, giving with a glad and generous heart has a way of routing out the tough old miser within us. Even the poor need to know that they can give. Even just the very act of letting go of money or some other treasure does something within us. That something is destroying the demon of greed. I think there are far too many people who pray the Ebenezer Scrooge prayer. God, you can have anything if you can pry it out of my hand. The wise men teach me a third thing I want to share with you also. give a gift that's personal. The wise men gave Jesus these personal gifts. You know the three gifts. The gold was for royalty. Jesus was to be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And the gift of frankincense, it was used in the temple for worship. It was burned as an offering to God. And the gift of myrrh, a personal gift to Jesus. Probably the ladies who came to the tomb on Easter morning, Resurrection Sunday, probably had myrrh with them so that they could help to bury the body of Jesus with these spices. These gifts were specifically for Jesus. They were personal. And here's the fourth thing. Give a gift that's going to last. Think about this gift, given over 2,000 years ago, and we're still talking about it. A gift that was given over 2,000 years ago and is still impacting our lives today. It takes longer to choose a gift like that. But let me give you some examples of how you can do that. Give the gift of good memories. There's nothing like giving somebody a good memory to hold on. Create memories at Christmas. Pull out the projector, the VCR, the DVD player, whatever you have any of your videos on, and show those. Let your kids see those. Let them have some memories and remember some of the things you've done together. And just make them come to mind. Some of you, I'm going to be honest, some of you may not have grown up in such a joyful place. Some of you may not have had those kind of memories as a child. Let me say this, I'm speaking to you. Make some now. Make memories now. Neither Linda nor I grew up in a Christian home. We met at church as teenagers, at church. But our parents weren't Christians. They didn't go to church. They were not Christians. Let's just put it that way. And so as we were married, we sort of felt a little like some of you, whenever I mention about Christmas memories, you're thinking, well, I don't really have any of those. I have memories of Christmas. She has memories of Christmas. But those are not the kind of memories I want you to make. And I'm telling to you, make those memories now. Start those with your children. Start sharing what Christmas is about now with your children and your grandchildren. Be those kinds of memories. Make them now. And here's the second, the gift of a godly legacy. Listen to David, King David in the Psalms. Praise the Lord. Blessed are those who fear the Lord, who find great delight in his commands. Their children will be mighty in the land. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches are in their houses, and their righteousness endures forever. You know, you can begin a legacy right now. Linda and I don't have a legacy to build from. You know, when I was in seminary, I'd hear so many of the guys that I was in college with talk about their dad's the preacher, and their grandfather's the preacher, and their uncle who's a preacher, and they would talk about all the experiences they had growing up. I didn't have any of those. There were times they were talking about things, and I had no idea what they were talking about. I had just never experienced those. So Linda and I made the decision when we got married, we were going to start having our own traditions. And so we started establishing some of those traditions. And I'm excited that our two sons, who are both in ministry, are doing some of those traditions, and they're adding to them now. Their children are learning about Jesus and learning how to serve and are serving one another. And our oldest son, he's 17 years old. He plays in the praise band. He operates the sound. He operates the projection. He's in charge of training the people for their live stream. He's 17 years old, but he's already learning a legacy of serving God. Start now with your children. Start now with your grandchildren, training them up to serve God, to love God. You know, here's the fifth one. Give the gift now. Samuel Johnson's quoted as saying, "He who waits to do a great deed of good all at once will never do anything." I believe God that you can give that special gift now. Listen to this. They were going to be all they wanted to be tomorrow. None would be braver and kinder than they tomorrow. A friend who was troubled and wearied, they knew, would be glad for a lift. He needed it so. And on him they would call and see what they could do tomorrow. Each morning they stacked up the letters they'd write tomorrow. A thought of folks they would fill with delight tomorrow. the greatest of people that they might have been. The world would have opened its heart to them. But in fact, they passed on the faded from you. And all they had left when their life was through was a mountain of things they intended to do tomorrow. The wise man in our study didn't consider putting off this journey to reach the child. Consider the long distance they traveled, probably by camel and mules, packing away their things. Weeks, months, maybe years over this hard terrain traveling. And the amount of time they invested in it. I'm sure there were people who discouraged them and said, "What are you doing? You're following a star. Are you crazy? Why are you wasting your time doing this?" Over the years, I've preached hundreds and hundreds of funerals. Some for dear, dear friends, and some literally for strangers. And I've heard over and over, "I wish I'd told them. If only I'd spent more time with them. I wish I could have said one last time." And there are no sadder words said on the deathbed than, "I wish I had." Friends, why not look back and see a life filled not with regret, but with joy? Begin planting those seeds now. Why wait? Cherish the time you have right now. Today is one of those days. We're having the Christmas dinner. You get a chance to know people. Get a chance to talk to people you normally don't talk to. Get to visit with them. Find out what they did in life. Find out what they're doing in life. Find out where they came from. You might find all kinds of things about the people that you're going to sit with to eat together today. Cherish this time you have. Give the great gift of grace to someone you love this Christmas. Give the gift worth giving. Give Jesus to somebody and change their eternity. Let's pray. Father, we're so wrapped up with Christmas right now. We see the beautiful decorations. Mind turns to Christmas songs. We turn the radio on and hear Christmas songs. Our homes maybe have the Christmas tree in it and have decorations around, and we seem to be bombarded with Christmas paraphernalia. But Lord, I pray that we never lose sight of what truly Christmas is. God with us, Emmanuel. Let us never lose sight of the greatest gift given. Jesus Christ, a grace gift, one that we can never be worthy of, one that we can never pay for. Father, we're so blessed that you love us so much that you would give Jesus to us. Father, in this time, today, in this morning, Father, I pray that everyone who is within the sound of my voice has a strong relationship with Jesus Christ. But if there's someone who's here, someone who's listening, and does not, that today can be the day that changes. Their eternity can change today. Father, speak to them. Let your hand be upon them. Let today be the day they surrender to you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.